Nice tan. That's all right. Okay, let's get ready to go here. I call this meeting to order the Champaign County Board, Committee of the Whole for Finance, Justice, and Social Services, Policy, Personnel, and Appointments. The time is...
Back here, Pius.
Pardon?
Your microphone's not real good, boss.
Can you hear me now?
Now, sure.
The time is 6:04.
Would you please, sir?
If people stopped talking, I probably could be heard a little bit better. As I was saying, the time is 6:04. Please turn off or turn down your cell phones, as I am doing now. All right.
You're taking count.
Roll call, please.
Kibler?
Here.
Kurtz?
Kurtz, please.
Sorry. Are you here?
Here.
Langenheim?
Here.
Maxwell?
Here.
Hello. McGinty?
Here.
Michaels?
Here.
Mitchell? Mosier?
Here.
O'Connor?
Here.
Petrie?
Here.
Quisenberry?
Here.
Richards?
Here.
Rosales?
Here.
Schrader?
Boy.
Alex?
Here.
Boy. Ammons?
Here.
Anderson? Binzel?
Here.
Berkson?
Here.
Betts?
Here.
Carter?
Here.
Cowart? Esri?
Here.
Holderfield?
Here.
James?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Weibel?
Here. We have a quorum. I believe Ms. Anderson is here. She just stepped out of the room. Here comes Mr. Schrader. So it looks like we're at 26. Mr. Mitchell said he is out of town on business. Seek approval of the minutes of the Committee of the Whole for April 10, 2012.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Kurtz, second by Mr. Rosales. Discussion on the minutes. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Seek approval of the agenda and the addenda.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. James, second by Ms. Ammons. I want to point out that you have an appointment for Mr. Patrick Quinlan on your desk. That was left out of the agenda of your package here. It was on the web, though, so that was not included. Ms. Ammons.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to request to move item 10, the Board of Review appointments, to the full board meeting for May.
Is there a second? Second by Ms. Cowart. Discussion? See none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. This will be at the board meeting approximately a week and a half from now.
24 May.
Okay, public participation. You're right. Okay, more discussion on the agenda, Mr. Michaels. Thank you, Mr. Betts.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to remove Section 8, the Justice and Social Services CAL, from the agenda tonight.
Okay, any objection to that? Okay. Very good. There will be no Justice and Social Services portion of the agenda tonight. Any other discussion? Is that it? More?
Well, yeah, if I could just say why.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I received a letter from Presiding Judge DeFonis, which says it's inappropriate for members of the judiciary or department heads under their supervision to participate in county board meetings. As such, Mr. Rosenbaum will not attend the Justice Committee meeting tonight on May 15, 2012. And so the courts have canceled Mr. Rosenbaum's presentation. So we do have departmental reports, which everyone can see online, but I don't see any reason to have the agenda tonight.
All right, thank you. Further discussion? Okay, vote on the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Public participation?
No, don't you still have to approve the agenda?
No, I just did. We had a
bunch of words.
There was a motion on the floor to remove justice, which needed to
I asked if there's any objection. He did not actually make the motion. He asked to remove it, and I said, is there any objection? Normally, we operate with it. We're pretty informal, so we didn't formally for the first one, informal for the second. I asked if there's any objection. So if there's no objection, you're obviously all happy with it. So that's why I voted on the main motion. Okay? Not trying to cut corners here.
Cut them all away. Make it quick.
Okay. Public participation one more time. Seeing none, we'll move on to communications. I have one. You have a handout here with a chart. There's been a House bill that's been introduced in Springfield that's what it's doing is reassigning the distribution of the state corporate personal property tax replacement tax fund. Basically, it's taken out of our hands, and I think they're going to use it for, I think, for the pensions, actually. Teachers' retirement pension. The impact on Champaign County is listed there in the first column there. You'll also see a table from that. I suggest you call your local representatives, they're listed on back, and give them your opinion about this. That's my announcement. We can't discuss it because this is an announcement. Okay, other announcements. Mr. Benson.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say up in my corner of the county, we've got dirt moving and rock flying and cranes all over the place, windmills going up right and left. It's a flurry of activity up there, and it's good for the community and as a whole up there. And fortunately, I've had one complaint. It was minor. It was from someone who's complained from the very beginning of this, so I didn't assume she was going to change her position. But other than that, the people are happy. So I've been happy with the way the contractors are working, so I think we've done our job, and we've done it well so far.
Very good. Other announcements? All right. Let's move on to policy personnel and appointments. Oops. Ms. Evans.
Policy has item A1, appointment of John Schroeder as County Board Liaison to the Regional Planning Commission to replace County Board Member Steve Mosier. Mr. Chair. There you go. Oh, can't see you. I can get my glasses.
I appoint John Schroeder to fill out the remaining term. That'd be till the end of November.
Till end of November. Second by Mr. Betts. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion passes. Thank you. Number two, CU Mass Transit District 1, unexpired term ending 12/31/2012. Mr. Weibel.
I nominate Margaret Chapman to fill this term.
Second by Ms. Anderson. Any discussion? Mr. Betts.
One of the things I'd like to say is I'm very pleased that we're putting someone who rides the bus
on the
board. It's high time.
Just Kiebler. I see you, Mr. Kiebler.
I was just going to make a point that you said 2012. I think you meant 2013.
I did mean 2013. You know I ain't got my glasses. I cannot see anything. My computer and my glasses are in the same place. Mr. Weibel.
I just want to point out that Ms. Chaplin, I believe, lives in Champaign, a Democrat. This is a Democratic position. Used to be a regular MPD bus rider, but she's now retired, so she uses it a little bit less. I think she'd be a good addition.
Any other discussion on this appointment? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion carries. Item A3, Deputy Sheriff Merit Commission, one term ending 11/30/2017. Applicant, Mr. Weibel.
I nominate Mr. Eddie Adair.
Second.
Second by Mr. Betts. Any discussion on the nomination? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. Item A4, East Lawn Memorial Burial Park Association, one unexpired term ending 3/30/2017. Applicant, Mr. Weibel.
I nominate Mr. Todd McManaway. I think I pronounced that right.
Second.
Mr. Maxwell seconds. Any discussion on this item? Who seconded that?
Benzo.
Mr. Benzo, thank you. Thank you. Any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. That motion carries. Item A5, Fire Protection District, one term, each district expiring 4/30/2015. Applicants, Mr. Weibel.
Is that objection? May I do an omnibus nomination for all of these?
Any objection? No objection, Mr. Weibel.
Thank you. Broadlands, Longview, Bruce Ricketts, Eastern Prairie, Stuart Williams, Ed Scott, Linda Barkus, Ivesdale, James Hickson, Ludlow, Patrick Quinlan, Ogden Royal, Maurice Gorman, Pasodum, Chris Hausman, Philo, Michael McHenry, Sidoris, Richard Job, Sangamon Valley, Ron Coons, Scott, Paul Beerbaum, St. Joseph Stanton, Richard Denhart, Thomasboro, Michael Tittle, Tolono, Dennis Davis, Windsor Park, David Dupree.
Second.
Second, all the way back in the back. Ms. Esri, thank you. Any discussion on these appointments? Mr. Langenheim and then Ms. Peacher.
Could you cite both Clara Hausman and Gregory Fisher for proposal?
No, just Chris Hausman.
Just one.
So the Gregory Fisher that's on the agenda is not being proposed?
Correct.
It's one slot. Ms. Petrie.
That was my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other discussion on these items? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That motion carries. Thank you. One unexpired term ending 4/30/2014. Applicant, Mr. Weigel.
I nominate Ms. Ruth Mitchell to fill that term out.
Second by Mr. Kurtz. Any discussion on this nomination? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. Item 6, Farmland Assessment Review Committee, two terms expiring 5/31/2016. Mr. Weibel.
I nominate Richard Rayburn and Kent Kruwick. Kruquit. Thank you, Mr. Mosier.
Thank you. Kruquit. Is there a second to this? Right. Mr. Esri, seconds. Thank you. Any discussion on this item? Ms. Petrie.
This is just an information question. How many people are actually on this review committee?
I think it's five. Is that right, Mr. Mosier?
Three.
It's three? Okay.
It's three.
Mr. Mosier has been on that committee many times.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on this nomination? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. The motion carries. Item 7, Local Food Policy Council, nine terms expiring 5/31/2014. Mr. Weigel.
I nominate the following nine people. I'll mention what category they fall in. My notes are, but here we go. Okay, Rebecca Roach, an academic. Mary Ellen Farrell, community. Todd Sathwaite, local food rep. Lisa Mead Hemelberg, maybe Lisa Mead Hemelberg, community. Kathy Capel, local food rep. Bradley Eukin, Farm Bureau. Sarah Riddle, end user. Zach Kennedy, academic. And Christopher Henning, end user.
Is there a second to those nominations? Mr. Kurt, seconds. Any discussion?
Madam Chairman, I wish to abstain from this because I work with one of the applicants, and another applicant represents the Soli Gratia Farm, which is a part of my church.
We have one abstention. Any other discussions on this item? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. That motion carries. Item 8, Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District, one term expiring 5/31/2015. Mr. Weigel.
I nominate Mr. Jerry Leike. If I like.
So moved.
Mr. Jay seconds that. Any discussion on this nomination? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. Item 9, Water District, one term in each expiring 5/31/2017. Mr. Weigel.
Nominate Mr. Mark Richardson for the Penfield Water District and Mark Larson for the Sangamon Valley Public Water District.
Thank you. Second by Mr. Maxwell. Thank you. Any discussion on these nominations? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. That moves us to B, County Administrator's Report.
you're accustomed to seeing vacant positions listing, and Administrative Services has expanded that report to the report that's in your packet this evening to try and provide you with more information about what's going on countywide in terms of human resource management through the Administrative Services Department. So I would just point that out to you this evening and say that if any of you have questions about this report, please feel free to contact me, or if there's additional information you would like to see included in this report, please feel free to contact me as well. Thanks.
Will the report be received and placed on file?
Moved by Mr. Best, second by Ms. Bergson, seconds that. Any discussion on the administrator's report? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you.
Pursuant to your action at last month's meeting, the Job Content Evaluation Committee met, well, received position analysis questionnaires for the two new positions that were proposed to you for the Veterans Assistance Commission. We met with Mr. Brad Gould, who is the designated representative for the Veterans Assistance Commission. And effectively, as we also reviewed information from other county VACs that have been established to help identify and work with our Champaign County VAC in identifying what the job responsibilities would be for this superintendent position. As a result of that, we are recommending that this new position be classified in the county's grade range H, which is a salary range of a minimum of $34,437 up to a maximum of $51,655. And the Job Content Evaluation Committee further recommends and received concurrence from Mr. Gold that we do not think it advisable to classify or recommend an administrative assistant position at this time, because neither Mr. Gold nor the members of the VAC could really say what that position would entail. So our agreement was that after the VAC is established, it will be established with the superintendent only upon the board's approval of that. And at a later date, if the workload exceeds what a single employee can manage, then it would be incumbent on the VAC to come back at that time and request an additional position. All that the policy committee is doing tonight, pursuant to the personnel policy, is approving the Job Content Evaluation Committee's recommendation for the classification of this position. Upon your approval, this would go to finance in June for consideration of actually creating the new position, and that will be done in concert with other information coming to the board from your own county board VAC committee and the VAC.
Move approval.
Second.
Second by Mr. Kurtz. Discussion on the VAC. Ms. Petrie.
I have several information questions. I'd like a bit of explanation why the new position was given an H salary range. Is this full-time, 5 days a week? Some more description on it.
Well, the salary range has nothing to do with how many hours someone works. I mean, that's based on a full-time salary. There's also an hourly rate. So if it weren't full-time, it would be adjusted pursuant to how many hours a week the individual worked. I just gave you the annual rather than the hourly. This is an exempt position under FLSA. So typically we think of it in terms of an annual salary.
Okay, but why this level, H?
Well, that is the result of the analysis and evaluation of the Job Content Evaluation Committee. By using all the information that I described, the position analysis questionnaire, reviewing the responsibilities for the position with the proposer, looking at similar jobs in other counties and what the responsibilities are for this position. And we have a system, our own salary administration system, and after we do all of that evaluation, the position is assigned a number of points. In this case, the number of points is 595, which places this position in salary range H. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I would like to note that in the beginning, I believe that this position was requesting a salary of around $70,000.
Recent request from the VAC is fairly consistent with what this salary range is. I believe it was in the higher 40s. Do you remember, Ralph?
See, I thought it started. That was
the original.
That was the original, right.
That was in the original proposal, but
correct.
The VAC
never adopted that.
No, they didn't.
And they have pulled back, and there's much to be said about that, but let's not say it.
And I just want to clarify that when it goes to the finance department for June, then we would have identified where the support will come from in the budget for this VAC.
If the finance committee creates a position and establishes a start date for the establishment of this new department in county government, it will require a budget amendment which will budget the appropriate funds. There will not be a support position. There will be the superintendent position. Just for this position, right. And that would be a budget amendment that would come to finance, correct.
Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?
Aye.
Thank you. See, we have County Clerk April 2012 report. Moved by Mr. Betts. Second by Mr. James. Any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? We don't have a Secretary's report at this time. We'll go back over designation for consent. Oh, we have an addendum of which I don't have. Thank you. Item D off the addendum, D1, resolution in support of the Police Training Institute at the University of Illinois.
Oh, that's the resolution.
It's moved and seconded by Mr. Kurtz. Discussion on this item. Ms. Petrie, and then Mr. Allen.
I have an information question. I looked into today's newspaper to see exactly what Urbana passed, or did they pass last night, and is this the same resolution that they acted upon?
Mr. Weibel.
It's similar, but it's
different.
It's sort of same message, but it's not the same. The one from Urbana had more details on different things. This is, I'd say, if you want to compare this to the watered-down version.
Thank you.
Ms. Colbert. And then Mr. Alex, I skipped you. Let me go to Mr. Alex and then come back.
I think, to use the chair's words, this has been watered down to the extent that I could support it. My concern about the legislation or pending legislation, it's my understanding that Representative Jacobson and others are introducing, is that the proposal for funding the Police Training Institute is based on an increase in fees charged to criminal defendants. And when it comes to things that the state should be funding out of tax dollars, it's hard to come up with something more important than training police officers. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty disappointed to see the funding model that was being proposed, and I hope that as this works its way through Springfield, we can come up with a more equitable way of saving this institution than putting it on the backs of our citizens. Thank you.
Ms. Colbert. If the county would be putting funds toward, under this resolution, the county is not putting any funds towards this.
This is just a motion of support to keep PTI in Champaign-Urbana.
Mr. Betts and then Mr. Langenheim.
I
just 1 second. Let me get Mr. Betts and I'll come back to you.
I'm going to vote against this resolution. I think this is been studied a great deal at the university in depth. It has been found not to be a proper part of the overall mission of the University of Illinois. There have been committee after committee, study after study. I happen to agree with their position on this issue, and so I cannot support trying to impose this institute on the university when the university does not appear to see it as part of its mission.
Mr. Langenheim, can you use your mic? Also, we don't need your mic this time.
You don't need my comments.
Any other items for discussion on this? I agree with Mr. Betts, and I certainly agree with Mr. Alex. I did come to the legislative roundtable here at the county a couple months ago on this issue. I do not support the surcharge that's somewhat connected to this, but as Mr. Weibel says, this resolution represents a watered-down version of it, which really concerns me. that I saw the original version in Urbana that was put forward to the council there, and then this version comes to us quite altered from that version, taking out the funding model. And, yeah, that concerns me quite a bit. And so I will not support the resolution at this point and encourage my fellow board members to do the same. Thank you.
Request a roll call.
Roll call requested. Is there a second for roll call?
Sure.
Mr. Alex says sure. any discussion on that?
Has there been any estimation on what the impact to the county would be if we lose PTI with respect to our officers? Is there any impact to the county?
The impact to the county is that currently when we train police officers, generally speaking, we don't have to pay for their room and board while they're in the six-week training program, and now we will.
In terms of dollars, though, how many do we send per year? Can you give a cost estimate, even if it's ballpark?
I don't have a cost estimate.
Mr. James.
If someone could answer this, how long has PTI been at the U of I?
I'm taking 1979.
Yeah.
I think it's about 1979.
And they just now come to realize that they really don't want it. So I would say on the side of the people that have gone through there and the things that it's done for the communities and all the great things it's done, the U of I is a tax-funded entity, and us taxpayers should have some say-so in how our universities react to the public. Thank you.
I appreciate your comments, Mr. Anderson. I mean, Ms. Anderson, I'm sorry.
I know the university has indicated that it doesn't fit, you know, their mission or whatever they call it, but they have a fire institute. So why is that any different? They seem to go on, willing to go on and fund that. And I think it's had a really good reputation for the training that they do. So, you know, Urbana and Champaign and Coase are concerned that it will cost them more, but I think it's benefited the whole state.
I'll come back to you, Mr. Kurtz. I have no actual position on whether the university tells them to put it there or not. My position, which was my position 2 months ago at the legislative roundtable, was the funding mechanism. And because that is not certainly going to be spread out across the board, and I do believe that local government should pay to train their staff like we pay to train our staff at my place of employment. I don't believe that people that run through our courthouse should have to pay for that solely. And that's part of the real problem area for me, that we dump these fees and fines on the people who are least able to pay, and we're okay with that. I don't support that theology. Mr. Kurtz.
Well, from a different point of view, the Police Training Institute has one of the more excellent reputations in the state of Illinois. It has trained literally hundreds of police officers here, bringing what I feel is an asset to this community. The University of Illinois has chosen after many, many, many years to remove this, but I think that it's an asset to our community, and I would be in support of the resolution.
Go ahead, Ms. Holderfield.
I have mixed emotions. I worked at the University of Illinois Police Department many years ago, where we sent many of our police officers through PTI. I know many of the instructors. It is a University of Illinois, which is a training teaching organization. And I also look at it from the perspective of the economic impact that will be burdened upon the people of Champaign County once we lose that opportunity to have our hotels, our restaurants, and other sundry items purchased, which helps us tax-wise, as well as economically to the businesses that are located in Champaign County. Understanding the funding portion of it, as I said, very mixed emotions about whether or not I can support this particular resolution. I like this better than what the City of Urbana came up with. But based on the situation that we have at the University of Illinois, if the decision has already been made, then at this point I'm not really sure if this is the right time to get into this fight. I think if we were going to get involved, we should have been involved sooner. So I will not support this resolution.
Mr. Jay.
Mr. Richards.
I think we're spending a lot of time on something that's already been decided. In fact, they're already making plans to relocate it. I believe it's in Macomb, which all did have a police academy of some kind over there. Also, we need to be reminded that we have a fine institution on our property that rents facilities from us that doesn't replace the institute, but they do provide training for law enforcement and firefighters. And to answer whoever's question was about the firefighters and the policemen, firefighters are more important than policemen.
Mr. Richards, you want to make comment or not?
Yeah, well, not to drag this out too much, but I'm gonna vote in support of this because I think that the Police Training Institute makes a lot. It's good for Champaign County, and I think it's good for the state of Illinois, better for the state of Illinois to have this here than anywhere else in the state. So I think we should show our support on this.
Thank you. I'll ask for the roll call. The clerk will call the roll, please.
Kibler?
Yes.
Kurtz?
Yes.
Langenheim?
No.
Maxwell?
No.
McGinty?
Yes.
Michaels?
No.
Mosier?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
Yes.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosales?
No.
Schrader?
No.
Weibel?
Yes.
Alex?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Binzel?
Yes.
Berkson?
No.
Betts?
No.
Oops. Carter?
No.
Cowart?
No.
Esri?
Yes.
Holderfield?
No.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
No.
Ammons?
No. Motion passes. That's all from policy. Designation?
14 yes, 12 no.
Designation for consent is items A, 1 through 7, 8, 9. That's it. Minus 7, Quisenberry abstained. Thank you.
Next up is finance, Mr. McGinty.
Okay, we have several amendments and transfers. I would like to entertain an omnibus on the first two items, number 12-19 and 12-20, both RPC and HUD related. Is there a motion for approval by Stan, seconded by Ralph? Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Item number three is an amendment 12-21 for $17,868. State's Attorney's Office, this increase in appropriations for benefit payout for a retiring employee and an employee leaving the employee of Champaign County. Is there a motion for approval? By Aaron, seconded by Al. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Number four, an amendment 12-23 for $21,587 out of the Correctional Center. This is a receipt of bills that included charges for HIV medications dispensed in the county's last fiscal year. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
By John, seconded by Pius. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Item number five is an amendment, 12-24, for $4,000 out of the coroner's office. These are grant monies received by the IDPH. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
By John, seconded by Jeff. Discussion. Pius.
Well, point out it costs $2 more to die in the state of Illinois. Now they raise the fees to $13.50 for a death certificate.
There's the Jeopardy moment of the evening. Chris.
I'm sure we can expect to see that result in a reduction of deaths.
Is there any other useful discussion on the issue? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Item number six is an amendment 12-25 for 2940 of the Correctional Center to cover personnel expenditures for court security officers in fiscal 2012. Motion for approval by Stan. Is there a second? By Stephanie. Discussion. Carol.
Does this represent a new person that we hired?
No, this is actually part of the court's video arraignment and sound system upgrade, and the money for this additional personnel requirement, because they worked at nights and we had to have court security in the building, is actually in that budget, and we'll be transferring it to the sheriff's budget, so the increase is to the sheriff's budget for the actual time they spent.
Chris?
Deb, was this the total amount for that?
Yes.
Not just overage?
No, this is the total.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Item number seven, Amendment 12-26 of the Recorder's Office, is an increased appropriation of $300,000, increased revenue of $450,000 to purchase additional transfer tax stamps due to increased sales prices. Is there a motion for approval? By Steve Mosier, seconded by Carol. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. I would like to ask for an omnibus of all the transfers. Those are items 8 through 11. Is there a motion to do so? By Aaron, seconded by Jeff. Discussion. Any of the transfers? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Animal Control, I also like omnibus on items 1 and 2 out of Animal Control. These are intergovernmental agreements for animal control and impound services with the City of Urbana. Motion by Carol, seconded by Lorraine. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, C, out of Children's Advocacy Center, request approval of application and, if awarded, acceptance of National Children's Alliance Chapter Sub-Awardees Grant. Is there a motion for approval by Lorraine? Seconded by Stephanie. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. Out of the Sheriff's Office, a request for approval to amend the Aramark Inmate Commissary Services Agreement. Is there a motion for approval? By Steve.
I move to bring it back to the floor. To defer from the county board meeting.
Pius is moving to bring it back to the floor to defer it to the full.
It was deferred to the county board meeting.
Please explain.
Take a look at the orange sheet in front of you.
Yep.
At that county board meeting, it was deferred after Mr. Kurtz had made an amendment to the main motion. It was deferred to this meeting. Therefore, we start out with the amendment that Mr. Kurtz made, and we discuss there and continue on as normal.
So on the floor, are you saying on the floor is Mr. Kurtz's amendment?
That's correct. So my motion is to bring it back on the floor. You'll need a second for that, and then we take off.
Is there a second to that by Aaron? Everybody's sort of kind of clear on what's on the floor. Pius.
Okay, what I'm talking about is Mr. Kurtz's amendment to the floor. According to the sheriff, he says that for items they ordered from the same inmate, there's no service and handling charges. I'm not sure if we need Mr. Kurtz's amendment to the amendment.
There's no way.
So Mr. Kurtz is withdrawing his.
The sheriff also told me that if you're an inmate and you order something, there's no shipping and handling charges.
So the question is, if he wants to withdraw, we don't know who the seconder is unless
we
look back on the minutes to Mr. Kurtz's amendment.
It's in here on the sheet.
Everything's on there.
Coward.
Seconded by Kibler. So if you're withdrawing and that's okay with the seconder?
No, I'm not at this point. We're in discussion. I'd like to have Ashley speak for peace if that's okay.
Okay, hold on. We have.
Yeah, that's right. We're discussing your amendment.
All right, so.
Could everyone please remember to use your microphones, including Mr.
Okay,
Kurtz.
I will.
I'll start with Ms. Burks and then with Quiz. Speak into the mic, please.
IOS is telling us that we don't need this because if the inmates order it, there are no shipping and handling charges. But the question was about families of people who order it for the inmates.
A point of order, that is actually on the amendment by Ms. Colbert, and we're not talking about it. We're talking about the amendment to the amendment, which is from talking about from it, inmates ordering from within the jail.
Okay, those are on the sheet. That's not the families, that's just the
inmates. Oh. Kurtz.
I'm not a good lip reader.
Kurtz's amendment did not say it was only for inmate orders.
Okay.
Howard said just purchases online to inmates, and Kurtz did not remove that by saying it was for inmates only. I think he intended it to be just an amendment to Coward's that said, you know, if they have it, then there should be no shipping and handling.
Okay, there's one point. Quiz, any clarification?
I'm going to add to the confusion because I don't think I was here for
great.
This meeting.
Great, looking forward to that.
But my interpretation of this is we were trying to avoid the commissary charging shipping and handling to families ordering online for stuff that is stocked at the jail. So, and that's how I read this, that there was, if you order online, it charges you shipping and handling no matter what. But if that food is already stocked at the jail, that is shipping and handling that is not incurred by Aramark, and so therefore should not be charged. That's my interpretation of this, and I would support that notion.
Wait. So before we get too far down this road with confusion and a lot of folks wanting to try to provide clarification, I might ask that we take a second to either ask the administrator and or the parliamentarian for recommendations on how to clarify this sequence of events since it happened before so that we can get to... No, I'm confused myself, and I don't. Is anybody else, or is everybody pretty clear? A lot
I
of confusion.
Understand. Claire's
not. Or no.
I understand.
Yeah. Well, Patsy, then provide the clarity for us, since you understand, please.
Oh, just take your orange sheet and start at the bottom and move up to the top, and the first one is the amendment to the amendment. Chair Weibel made a point of order when the discussion moved to the third paragraph, which is Ms. Cowart's amendment. So first we have to handle the amendment to the amendment, take care of that, then move to the amendment, and then move to the resolution.
Is there any other discussion on Kurtz's amendment to the amendment? Jeff.
The reason I seconded this amendment is because I agree that anything that is already inside the jail and purchased online should probably not be, they should not receive a shipping and handling cost because it's already been shipped and it's already been handled. So my thought to Kurtz's motion was a good adjustment, so I would recommend approving that amendment to the amendment.
Any other discussion specific to the amendment to the amendment? Deb, for some clarity first, and then Lorraine, then Stephanie.
I'm just going to try and clarify. The items that are stocked at the jail are stocked there for the convenience of the inmates who order those supplies. And the having them stocked at the jail, our correctional officers are actually the ones who are taking care of the distribution for the inmates. Now, if a family member orders something online that is stocked at the jail through Aramark, Aramark's probably going to deal with that order. They're not going to send it from what's stocked at the jail for the inmates that we are managing. They're going to send it from their own inventory, which is why there is shipping and handling.
Lorraine, to add to that?
Whoever is taking the order,
if the inmates purchase it and it's on site, there's no shipping and handling, and the inmates have quicker access to it. If it happens to be something on site that is ordered by a family member for an inmate, there's going to be shipping and handling because they are not ordering it from our jail. They're ordering it from Aramark.
So continuing to try to be specific to the amendment, Stephanie, then Pius.
I thought we had an email from the sheriff that said when an item is in stock at the jail, and it's ordered by the family member, there is no shipping and handling fee. So I'm sorry, I'm adding to the confusion, because I thought Aramark knew what inventory they had sent to the jail. However, with it being stocked by the inmates and the Sheriff's Department, they're not going to be able to keep track unless they're in a weekly, if they're taking inventory at the jail to let Aramark know what they have and what they don't have, which I doubt that they're doing. Is that correct?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I'm not responsible for this. The sheriff's, you know, brought a recommendation to maintain inventory on site for the inmates to make it more convenient for
right.
the inmates and to provide better service to the inmates.
Okay, can I just to follow up? Also, if the family members are placing an order because their family member or whoever is an inmate in the jail is making a request because those items are not in stock, is that something there's no communication going on between the inmates and whoever's doing the ordering for them? I mean, is that not part of the equation here? So if they're actually ordering something, it's the probability of it not being on site is higher. Just asking a question, just trying to figure this out. I'm sorry.
We got Pius and then Al Kurtz.
Move to call the question.
Second.
There's a motion to call the question on the amendment to the amendment. Is there any discussion on the and a second by Stan James? Oh, and there isn't. So all in favor of calling the question to of the amendment to the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All in favor, that motion passes. The amendment to the amendment, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
That motion fails.
Requested division of the assembly.
Show of hands.
Division of assembly.
All those in favor of the amendment to the amendment, please raise your hands.
For what? The amendment?
The amendment to the amendment, what we just voted on. This is all in favor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That motion fails. 9, that motion fails.
Wait, was that on the amendment?
The amendment to the amendment. Just failed. 9 people raised their hand. Now, we are back to the amendment by Lorraine, seconded by Astrid, to amend the main motion as specified in the third paragraph on your orange sheet. Is there discussion to that? Pius.
I'm going to have to vote against that because there's a problem that... say if my good friend Mr. James here is arrested for spitting on tobacco on dogs, which I'm sure he does. He's thrown in the jail, and I ordered some fruit for him. I could order a piece of apple, or an apple, he'd get it. Maybe he'd tip his hand, charges. Hourly, I could order another one. Next day, I could order another one. He could abuse the system on an hourly basis, because I don't care. I'm not paying for shipping and handling, but I want Mr. James to get fresh fruit.
Thank you.
And I think that's a problem. Therefore, I will vote against it.
Any other discussion? Lorraine.
That's wrong because it don't work like that. You can't go to commissary but once or twice a month. And when you order online, you can't order online but once or twice a month.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Anybody else? Anybody else loving a roll call?
Yeah.
All right. Plenty of love for a roll call. Chris, still talking about the amendment.
I I'm going to vote against this just because I think there has been so much confusion surrounding this. I mean, I think the sheriff, as acting in good faith to create this contract with Aramark, I think we need to get this contract in place. If there are specific concerns about things that are in the contract or ways in which the sheriff's office can improve their procedures, I'm sure the sheriff would be amenable to discussing this as a separate item, but I hate trying to write a contract on the floor through amendments to amendments, so I'm going to vote no to this on general principle.
Anyone else? Stan?
Well, I just sort of see it as a no-brainer. If the inmate wants something, it's in the commissary, get it. If I got to order something for Mr. Weibel and have it sent specially there, all of us in our everyday life are charged some fee for having something special done for us, so that's just life. And I support that that's what we do.
Astrid.
I thought that's what we're voting for.
Microphone, please.
There are people in jail who don't have a whole lot of money, and their families want to help them. And if it's just a matter of something in the commissary at the jail, I don't think the family should be charged a bunch of extra shipping and handling when there is no shipping and handling.
Pius, wait, hold on. I want to finish with round ones. I'm sorry. Carol first.
That's the only part that I wanted to clarify is, are we talking about inmates having some access to order something online inside the jail? We're talking about people outside of the jail ordering something for someone who is in the jail, and they ordering directly to Aramark. Yeah, I think I have to agree on this one. I just can't. If they were getting it directly from the commissary, then certainly I would not expect that we would be charging extra shipping and handling. But if you're ordering it online, like any other vendor purchase, and I'm ordering it as a family member of whoever's in the jail, we should expect that there's going to be shipping and handling because Aramark is going to send it to the jail. Is that how we would? It's going to. Aramark is going to send it to the jail. They're not going to take it out of our commissary that we currently have. Okay, yeah, so I can't support the change at this point.
Is there anybody else for round one of talking about the amendment? Pius, round two.
In response to Ms. Berkson's comment, if Mr. James leaves all his money at home, I would readily mail him money. There are different ways of doing that, cashier's check to his account so he could buy apples on his own.
Are we ready to roll call this amendment? Okay, please do so.
Gibbler?
No.
Kurtz?
No.
Langenheim? Maxwell?
No.
Michaels?
She's gone.
Mosier?
No.
O'Connor?
No.
Petrie?
No.
Quisenberry?
No.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosales?
Yes.
Schrader?
No.
Weibel?
No.
Alex?
No.
Ammons?
No.
Anderson?
No.
Binzel?
No.
Berkson?
Yes.
Betts? That was yes. Carter?
No.
Cowart?
Yes.
Esri?
No.
Holderfield?
No.
James?
No.
Jay?
No.
McGinty?
No. Motion fails. Back to the original motion. Ralph, what do you have? Ralph is changing his vote to yes. He can't make up his mind. Okay, here we go. Back to the original motion. Is there discussion on that? Carol?
I clearly understand what the purpose of the previous motion was, which unfortunately I wasn't here for that. But I would like to request an amendment to the contract that maybe could address this issue. When a inmate orders something or a family member orders something for commissary for the inmate, that actual product could be stocked in our commissary by Aramark. So instead of mailing it to the county facility, right, but the language is not in here to correct that. And so what I'm trying to say is that we could simply, that could be included in our normal monthly order, whatever this inmate's request was, just like they do at a hospital, they put your name on it, you order it, and when they deliver everything, they deliver that too. That way there's no shipping and handling at all. It's just a simple request, paid for, prepaid, and then it goes with our normal stock. So I would amend the contract somewhere around here. Let me see where we would amend this contract, just to include that. See, I don't have the whole contract because I remember this. The rest of the contract where you could, the delivery of the items is what we're talking about. The delivery of the items is where you would have to amend the contract to say that any orders for Champaign County would be delivered directly from Aramark to the county, identifying it with the name of the person who was requested it. That's basically it. A sticky note could do that and save the family the money. Well, I mean, just like the hospital does, they do the same thing. You know, you order it in the hospital and they just deliver it. But I don't have the rest of the contract in order to make the appropriate amendment here. If Ms. Busey can help me with that.
The sheriff has presented a proposed amendment to the agreement, and he has not proposed what you're proposing as an amendment to the agreement to Aramark.
I can see that.
So this is a finite amendment to the agreement that you've already adopted. If it's not approved, the agreement will stand as it was when you originally adopted it, which means we will not keep commissary items on site, and we'll go back to the 40% commission, and that's what the current contract says. So this is one amendment. You're talking about another amendment or a different amendment that probably should be taken up separately. Probably it should be discussed with Aramark first, and I would suggest that the sheriff might very well, you know, that's something that you could ask him to consider. But I don't know that you necessarily can tag it on to this amendment that's before you that has already been negotiated with Aramark and that is ready for you to either approve or disapprove.
I can see that. I can accept that as direction.
So there's, to be clear, there's no additional.
I won't do an addition to that, no.
So we're still talking about the original motion. Is there discussion about that original motion, Lloyd? Original motion.
I'm trying to figure out who are the purchasers, the inmate or is it a middleman? That's just like me. If I order something online and it comes to me, then I'm responsible for the payment. Now, if it's going through somebody else, and then to me, it's a different story. So which is it? Does the inmate order this directly online, or is it somebody else ordering it for you? His family.
So Lorraine's got your answer. We're still talking about the original motion.
Is that, Ms. Trump, is that correct? Is the family going on with this? You know?
Inmate or the family, I would assume.
Well, then you should be charged with that.
Anybody else have anything about the original motion? Patsy. Patsy.
It's just a thank you that the wording was adjusted to make it clear that the 30% does indeed go into the inmates trust fund. I appreciate that.
Anybody else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries and will not hit consent. That's surprising. Next up, the county administrator, Deb.
The general
Can we have a little bit of order to hear the administrator, please?
The general corporate fund fiscal 2012 revenue expenditure projection report is in your packet starting on page 123. You'll see there that we are anticipating an increased revenue of $317,000, and that corresponds to the budget amendment you did tonight, where revenue stamps look like they're going to generate $450,000 more in revenue. The recorder and the recorder has a more aggressive approach to that revenue line than I do, and she may very well be right, but that's a result of the revenue real estate transactions that have picked up in the county this year. Overall, on our 1 cent sales tax year to date, we're up 3.2%, and our quarter cent sales tax year to date is up 3.6%. Interestingly, our receipt in May was up 9%, which reflects February for the quarter cent sales tax. And for the quarter cent public safety sales tax, which is sales taxes without vehicles and registered pieces of equipment, was up nearly 12%. So February was definitely a good month. We'll see how that trends, you know, in months ahead.
Question from Tom. Can you use your mic?
Aggressive view by the recorder versus your view?
Well, I'm conservative in these revenue projections, or I try to be. She's projecting that she will have $450,000 more in revenue from purchase document stamps for real estate transactions and $300,000 more in expenditure based on the activity she's seen year to date. My projection shows about $317,000. I'm using a historical trend analysis, which is different than the information that she's using to project what she'll do this year. Probably somewhere in the middle is where we'll actually end up.
Thank you.
Please continue.
We continue to show that we're going to be about $500,000 short in state reimbursement because we got the money last year, which I tell you every month. And income tax looks like it'll be about $200,000 below where we had it budgeted for this year. In the bottom third of the page, there's some good news. For the first time in over 2 years, general government, which is our fees revenue, is actually up and looking like it may perform ahead of what we budgeted for this year. And our fines revenue is actually also at or ahead of budget, which is good news. So overall, it looks like we could receive 102% of our budgeted revenue with fiscal year 2012. On the next page, the expenditure projection report shows that we will probably be very close to spending 100% of our budget. We are underspending in personnel to an extent, but we're in commodities. And here, again, you see there on purchase document stamps, the recorder estimated 300,000 additional. I'm estimating 212, basically. We'll spend more there. We'll spend more on postage this year and on gasoline and oil over what was originally budgeted. Those are the primary areas other than personnel where we anticipate expenditures greater than what was budgeted. The bottom line is it looks like we would spend 99.93% of our budget, which is almost all of it, just underspending by 20,000. Based on the projection, we would be looking at a fund balance increase at the end of this fiscal year, where before the outstanding loan, we would be at about 14.6% or $4.6 million fund balance. After consideration of the outstanding loan, we'd be at $4.3 million or 13.58% fund balance.
Questions for Deb on the projections? Change report?
Change report basically just has a couple of little changes which reflect budget amendments that you approved last month. Overall, on paper, the budget right now has a $125,491 deficit. When we started the year, it was $108,491.
Any questions on that or a motion to accept and place those two reports on file by John, seconded by Al? Any other questions before voting on those? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
The next item is a carryover. You requested in February that this item, which is the additional fiscal year 2012 funding request, be brought back to you this month. I do have two updates. The Regional Office of Education has withdrawn its request for the truancy program. They have managed to keep the program going through this semester of this first semester, well, the spring semester, through attrition and through reassigning some staff. That will not be able to be a continuing solution. However, they have also applied for grant funding, which they believe they may be able to receive to cover this program. If they don't receive the grant funding, which they won't learn about until late summer, they will reincorporate this request into their fiscal year 2013 budget request to you. And the other item that was pulled from the list is the sheriff's request for squad car cameras. So on page 128 of your agenda, the supervisor of assessments had also withdrawn his request for the CAMA software. And his reason for that is one component of a large software solution for the real estate and assessment group, and we'll wait until we're able to address the larger issue so that we're sure we're using something that will work in a larger solution. So the updated list of requests remaining is there on page 128. I would point out to you that in February, I recommended that if you do consider any of these requests, I would urge you to consider only the one-time expenditure request rather than the ongoing expenditure request because of the impact on future budgets.
Questions for Deb or other comments? Carol.
Deb, what would be the process? I think one of the things that the board has talked about over and over again when we talk about one-time expenditures would be to address the county boardroom itself. Mm-hmm. And I really want them to be comfortable and be able to look at each other next term.
After you leave.
And I would love to see this physical plant one addressed with the boardroom. Mm-hmm. What's the process of us getting that on to finance to look at it?
You could certainly move to include that request in the fiscal year 2012 budget, and you would receive a budget amendment back to reflect that additional expenditure.
I would like to make that motion. I'd like to make the motion to move the physical plant, county boardroom update, audio, video system, and furnishing to the fiscal year 2012 budget process for $98,579.
Second. The motion is made by Carol and seconded by Patsy. Discussion of that motion, Stan.
Well, I disagree with that motion when I look at that list because I think that it's been said before that we ought to prioritize some of the things that are on the list and the need. And I am one that I think that when things work well, even though it'd be nice to have something new, like a new vehicle or a new apple in my lunchbox, I do believe that when we look at staff and other needs, they should be given a priority above something that may look good and feel good for us because the other things are more important.
Other discussion, Chris?
I think I have to agree with that. I mean, I'd like to see... as much as I'd like to see the room improved, I think some of these other requests go directly to improving the quality of service that we provide to people in Champaign County, and I would have to put a higher priority on those. Unfortunately, I think it's an easy decision for me to make because of this, and I'm waving around this document referring to the Corporate Personal Property Replacement Tax. Our dear friends in Springfield are considering legislation that would basically rob the county of close to $1 million in revenue in order to use that to bail out pension funds. So I think, unfortunately, now is probably not the time to be considering new expenditures. So with respect, I'm going to have to vote no on that.
Carol, then Ralph.
One of the complaints that we have often is from the public, which I think we wanted to make this more accessible to the public. And when the public comes, the greatest complaint in person is that they cannot see the board members, all of them, from the public viewing section. And this is the public's meeting room. And the second thing, and I'm not really, certainly I would rather fund the public defender's office personally. That would be my personal goal, but that would be ongoing expense that we certainly, from the administrator's point of view, can't sustain at this point. But a one-time expenditure, and I think we did have revenue that was already there from our previous review of our finances that could cover some portion of this if we could get our facilities director to look and see what we can do about the room. The other thing is that the public viewing on television is even worse. So if we really want to make this accessible to the public, then at the time that we can make a one-time expenditure to A, make it accessible in person, and B, make it accessible via television and update our equipment so that everybody can follow what's going on at home. I don't know if you've ever watched this on TV, but it's awful. This is an awful setup, and it looks horrible, too. And I think we can improve our service to the public by making the meetings more accessible as well.
Ralph.
Well, I want to put in a bid for the audio visual system. We have to hear what's being said in here clearly, and we have to see what's being shown here clearly. And under the present circumstances, even those who are not wearing hearing aids have trouble doing this. I think that gets in the way of our actually carrying out our function of legislating.
Other discussion? Steve Mosier first, then Gary.
You ought to have been in the meeting room we had in the old courthouse in 1992. You felt like you were on an elevator looking up the roof and wondering if the platform was going to fall down. Taj Mahal is where I started.
Taj Mahal, Gary, and then Jeff still in round one. Chris, I've got you for round two.
Thank you. I'd like to put a plug in for a freezer for the morgue.
Get here?
I'd like to put a plug in for a
I will clarify that I could give everybody a little bit of a lesson on how to use a microphone, speaking into it, over it, so that everyone can be heard, because I think a lot of the problem that the public has is that nobody speaks. I shouldn't say nobody. A lot of us do not speak into the microphone, and so that's a lot of the issue. We're always looking over here, and you can't hear. You hear over here, and it's not as good. Speak forward into the microphone. Gary, continue.
Thank you. I would like to put a plug in for a refrigerator freezer for the morgue to handle additional bodies. I have worked in a county that had a fatal of 8 people in one wreck one time, and they didn't have a
place. Hey, Gary, we've got to take care of this issue first, and you can make a separate motion if you care to do so regarding that.
Thank you.
Jeff.
Just a question on the motion. I believe the motion was stated to put it into the upcoming budgetary process, which I think what should be done is actually put it on the agenda for the next CAL meeting in order to vote it yay or nay. Which was the original motion?
To put it in a budgetary process so that it could be budgeted.
So you're saying it wouldn't be from this year's coffers, it would be from next year's, what you're trying to do, as opposed to one time trying to...
No. The motion said fiscal 2012.
The motion talks about spending this year's money on this project.
Do you want to amend that?
So then if that's the case, we have to amend the motion.
Yeah, I actually meant in the next budgetary cycle, not for 2012, but 2013.
That was absolutely not clear to me. I thought we were talking about this year's money.
No.
Okay, well, we're not at the point of approving the fiscal 2013 budget right now.
We're not discussing next year's budget. Anything regarding this year's budget, are you willing to withdraw that for discussion? Because it really applies to next year.
Well, I understand that. I wouldn't be willing to withdraw at this point because I really think it needs to be considered. And if we want to consider it at a CAL and get some numbers for what it really will cost to do this, I think there should be some consideration on improving this room. So I can amend the motion to move the County Board Room Update Audio-Video System and Furnishings to the facilities meeting for June. I can make that amendment.
Can I just ask for some clarification? This recommendation is here because the physical plant presented it with the fiscal year 2012 budget. And what we're doing tonight is looking at considering some of those additional items that were included with the fiscal year 2012 budget as to whether or not they should still be funded in fiscal year 2012. I can assure you, and if your motion were to amend the fiscal 2012 budget to do this in 2012, which is what I thought you said, then we're on track. This will be included in the 2013 physical plant budget request if it is not done in 2012. I can guarantee you that, because we're very clear that the county board is very interested in updating this room. So you could provide that as additional direction, but I don't think you can move to do anything with the 2013 budget yet.
And before we continue any further, Deb and I had discussed 2013 and exactly that issue. I thought all along that we were going to put that in 2013, let the next board deal with how they wanted to spend their money on their room. Everybody agrees that changes need to be happening, but we're talking about different numbers, different people. So how to make the room work at that time with a new board in place seemed to make the most sense, rather than us try to dictate that. It was a personal thought about why it should go into 2013. So to Carol.
I would certainly understand that point. I would just simply say that the new board, when they come in, is going to be very difficult to get that done once the new board is seated in December. And so if anything, I think this board should consider the improvements before it ends so that the new board could come in.
If I may, can I ask why would it be any more difficult for them than it is for us?
I guess for the same reason why we're taking many actions prior to the new board being seated. It's in the proposal for the 2012 budget. We just haven't been able to address it or allocate the resources towards it at this point. Doesn't mean that we don't have the money to address it currently, and I don't think that that is something that has to wait until 2013 board takes place as an issue that they would be addressing when they first come in. That's just my opinion of it as a new board member when I came in.
So for a point of clarification, since it's Carol's motion, how do you want it to be right now?
I would like for there to be some consideration of the item that's already been put forward to us by the physical plant to address this room.
What does some consideration mean?
Meaning
so this year?
The
talking
way
about
he, yes,
putting
so this
it in
year,
this year.
That's
just,
right.
I just want to be clear.
That's correct.
Okay. So we're still discussing that. I've got Pius, then Steve O'Connor.
I guess the problem I have with that is that we're 27 people right now. If Mr. Reinhardt comes in here and switches to 22, which five would be sitting over sitting somewhere else?
No.
So I think we should wait until we're done 22 and then make the changes then.
Well, Mr. Reinhart and I actually had a plan for that, and your very last meeting might be somewhat uncomfortable because we might have actually managed to get the conversion done. But the conversion of this room can most likely be done in a week or less. And so it would be done at the end of November. We would purchase what's required, but the conversion itself would not be done until the new board is ready to be seated.
So we're still discussing now Carol's amendment. Steve O'Connor, it has the...
Captain Weibel kind of covered my question. If we were going to implement this right off the bat, then we're looking at 22 repair jobs instead of 27. That was my question.
All right, I've got quiz still in round one. You're up.
I was going to ask, what are the odds of us paying for it in this fiscal year? If it's done in the last week of November, I kind of sense a payment not following county policy, and we'd be paying it in 2013.
We would have to receive everything by November 30th in order to get it done before the December organizational meeting. So
it would be all our labor.
We would order it. It's our own labor, and we would order and have everything here that is required.
Thank you.
Anybody else for round one talking about Carol's amendment? John.
Thank you. I would be opposed to spending any money that looks like a windfall that we assume to have, basically because of what's been brought up before. I mean, we do live in a debtor state, and it's only going to get worse. And I think we see by the last figures that we're already $500,000 behind what the state was supposed to reimburse us for money that's already been collected. It's only going to get worse, and it's going to be a further length of time. We've got other issues, budgetary issues that this county has to deal with. One of them is a nursing home right out here. So I can't support any more spending for this fiscal year. I think we've got to button down and hope and pray we don't get any more cuts from the state, but they're coming.
Esther, did you have round one yet? Okay, go ahead then, please.
I tend to agree with Mr. Maxwell that the freezer for the morgue is an emergency and our comfort is not. So I think that should go first.
Anybody else about the amendment? Carol's amendment for round one.
I'm sorry, point of order. I think it's a motion, not an amendment.
Yeah.
Then it's something. Mm-hmm. I think it's
right.
The main motion.
Right. Sorry.
Okay, sorry.
So, Chris, round two, you want to speak to that?
I just wanted to make clear. I mean, I'm not speaking to the merits of these things. I mean, I think the deficiencies of this room are well known, and I think a number of these other requests on the list are very meritorious. I just, as I said, given the uncertainty with regard to the replacement tax and so forth, I can't support spending any money at this point either.
Stan?
Well, just to follow up, I mean, like what Steve said, we start at one place, we get something better, and we always want something better. I agree that there are some problems in this room, but if everybody would listen and talk into their mic and pay attention, you would understand more and do more. And when I hear about the public, I do know the public is concerned, but I think it's overrated. I'm looking around right now, and I don't see that many public here, and I've been in this boardroom 8-9 years now, and yes, when there's an issue, they're here, but for the most part, they all sit at home and read the paper, and then they talk about it at the coffee shops. I think we overstate how important the public may be into this process, and there's a lot online now that they can read, and if the video's bad, don't watch it.
Well, if I may address some of this at this point, including Stan's remarks just now. You know, I think that we're getting to a point where it is going to become increasingly important because some people look at this, look at the streams that the county clerk puts out there to review what's happened. We have so many issues here. You know, we don't have a professional firm doing the videography of these meetings, and, you know, the municipalities do. As great as we are here, I get that. I've sat among the closest to the camera for 8 long years this entire time, and so it could change in any number of different ways, but it's going to take a new board with a new setup to actually do that. I agree that the priority list above that, above how people view these meetings, is lower on the list than so many other things with this county. We do need to change this. Everybody knows that. Lessons on how to use microphones and to bring in exactly who we want to do the videography. These are all things that can help. And we're going to be broadcasting in many different ways, and people will get their information in a lot of different ways eventually. I think we need to address Carol's motion now and then move on. So, yes, Carol.
I'll be glad under the comments of opposed to spending any more money in this fiscal year, or we can't spend any money at all, I will be happy to remove that motion, that request to upgrade the system here for the room at this point.
So
the seconder can just withdraw.
So, Carol, you're just removing it.
I withdraw my second.
And Patsy agrees. So with all of that discussion, we're back to the original.
Who are you pointing to,
Pius? All right. So there's no motion. Are there any other questions about the change request at this point? Gary?
I'll ask. Is the motion appropriate to include in this year's budget by amendment freezer for the morgue at the coroner's office?
So Gary's making that motion. Astrid's seconding it. Discussion on that one. Tom, then Patsy, then Lorraine.
All of the objections in relationship to the budget in terms of whether we have money or not based on various issues with the state reimbursement and the personal property tax. I think this motion is just as bad as the other. They're all worthy goals, but we shouldn't spend that money until we know we are going to have it. There is not an emergency situation in most of these items.
Patsy?
I need a memory refreshment here. I thought we had had a discussion on additional freezer with the coroner. Has this been taken care of, actually? No? Okay, thanks.
He has freezer space, but not the amount that he deems is necessary for his operation. This request is for the additional space.
Thank you for the
Lorraine.
Clarification.
I'm going to say I'm going to vote yes on this motion because I know for years the coroner has been trying to set up a morgue, and the money that we saved by having our own morgue more than paid.
Other discussion? John Jay, then Stephanie.
Well, as I recall, the coroner was going to save us enough money by doing autopsies over here to furnish his own freezer at one particular
point. Can we hold off the side discussions, please, and focus on the main speaker? John, continue, please.
Thank you. I've been concerned about us creating a morgue. I don't think we should start a morgue. I never thought we should start a morgue. There is no money in morgues. That's why there's not very many of them in the state of Illinois. I questioned at the time that was proposed that the money we were spending to transport to a morgue close to us was far cheaper than starting our own. And I don't think people understand you don't just put a morgue in and have Deb come in there and take care of the stuff. It takes a physician. It just takes a lot of things that I'm not sure we're prepared to pay for. And I do not believe that morgues are profitable, or you would see more of them across the state of Illinois.
Stephanie.
I did tour the coroner's office. I will be in support of a freezer for the fact that there are at times more bodies there, and it makes it very difficult, especially when family members are coming in, if he has more than three deceased bodies that are in the coroner's office. Also, he's running out of space. When you have an evidentiary item that is in the freezer, he has no more space, and that evidence has to be kept for, I believe it's 7 years or forever. And so when you have the evidence there in the freezer and there's no more space, I think that we have to address it, whether it be a 12-person freezer or some type of freezer, to give more space for the evidence that's necessary to hold forever. So I will support some type of a freezer for the coroner's office.
Lloyd first.
But anyway, I want to ask you all a question. If we had a disaster in this county, like some of the states, what would you put the bar? Where would they go? I hope I don't get the question like somebody said the dump one time, didn't they? Before the dump.
Look at me.
Now, this could be your mother. You know, let's get serious here. If we had a real disaster in Champaign County, what would we do with our bodies? And I ask the same question then.
Carol, did you have round one yet? All right, Carol first, then Quiz, then Pius.
I just find this to be quite entertaining. So if people are watching, this is entertaining. We just had a whole discussion about not having money for the previous motion, and now we're having a whole discussion about allocating money that we just said the previous motion we didn't have money for. I'm really going to miss you guys, but this is certainly the motion that was pulled before was because I understood that there was still a question about where the money was going to come from, and I don't think we should waste that much more time on this one either if we haven't answered the question about where the money is going to come from.
Question.
Yeah, I would actually suggest that this item is different in that it has the ability to avoid costs, but I'm going to withhold my support for it until I have some detail from the coroner that the investment would pay for itself in a short order.
Pius, then Michael.
I just want to point out in response to Mr. Carter's question about disaster, what would happen is we'd probably rent a freezer semi and we'd stack them all up in there.
Michael, then John.
To just add on to Mr. Carter's question, I think the state, IEMA, would probably bring in some freezers, and hopefully that would not be a problem. But Chief Jay makes a pretty good point. We were told that this thing was going to pay for itself. Do we have any evidence that it has? Because we've been told multiple times that we were going to be raking in the money in the morgue business, and any new fixtures we needed were going to have already paid for themselves. Is that the case? Do we know if that's happened? I'm going to take that as either a no, or maybe we don't know that as a yes. So I don't know how much more stuff we can keep bringing in before this is going to be the moneymaker it was promised.
John, then Tom, and then I want to get to a vote.
Thanks.
John.
Once again, I'll reemphasize what I said the last amendment, that I don't think we should be spending any of this. It's perceived windfall. I don't think it is. I don't think we should be spending a dime of this. I think we're going to need it in the future. So, once again, I'm opposed to any freezers, and go refer to what John Jay said. This thing was supposed to bankroll itself, so let it bankroll itself.
Tom.
Like Mr. Mosier and a few others, I've been on this board a while, and I am very disturbed by the way in which the county has gotten into the business of having a morgue when we were told we were not going to go in that business. Mr. Jay is absolutely correct. This has been a backdoor approach to create a morgue. The freezer isn't going to solve any disastrous problems. It's not going to be big enough for a major disaster. But beyond that, the other folks that have said the money isn't there are correct. We shouldn't spend what we don't know we have. I think we should take, ironically, a very conservative position with regard to these expenditures, and many of them are actually worthy. I just would not vote for any of them at this point.
We're going to go ahead and take a vote. The whole freezer issue has given me a little bit of a chill, so we're going to go ahead and do a roll call on this, because the randomness of the board, really, I want to hear this in a roll call. This should be fun. So, Kay, if you could cue it up, a yes supports the freezer.
Kibler?
Yes.
Kurtz? Langenheim?
Nope.
Maxwell?
Yes.
Michael? Mosier?
No.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
No.
Quisenberry?
No.
Richards?
No.
Rosales?
No.
Schrader?
No.
Weibel?
No.
Alex?
No.
Ammons?
No.
Anderson?
No.
Binzel?
No.
Berkson?
Yes.
Betts?
No.
Carter?
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes.
Esri?
No.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
No.
Jay?
No.
McGinty?
No, that motion fails. Any other questions on the very popular line item, the funding requests? Can we move on? Let's do so.
Mr. Chairman, I have a parliamentary question. At the last time this was brought up, we asked that this be brought up again in 3 months' time. Is it safe to assume that these will be, as the county administrator alluded to, included in the 2013 budget? So at this point, it's probably not worth explicitly bringing this up again other than as part of the budget process.
I would fully expect these to be brought back to you as part of the 2013 budget request.
And that process will start when?
After you approve a resolution tonight, it starts in early June.
Thank you.
Okay, Deb, please go ahead.
The next item is a resolution authorizing the inclusion of taxable allowances as IMRF earnings. Just to give you a little background, we were audited by IMRF in January, and they had one finding where we were not in compliance with IMRF requirements, and which requires your action. We have two areas of allowances. One is a vehicle allowance paid to the county engineer, and the other are clothing allowances paid to investigators in the sheriff's office. When these allowances were first created, we knew that they were subject to, under IRS guidelines, to be treated as taxable income. And as such, we treated them as taxable income and applied all of the other requirements, including IMRF, to that taxable income. What we have learned is that in order to include these as taxable income, you need to approve a resolution, which was never done. The earliest that this, that we have been treating these two areas as taxable income that impacts current employees is October 2004. So we are asking for your approval of a resolution to authorize that these two allowances be considered income for purposes of IMRF.
So moved. Motion by John to do so. Is there a second? I'm sorry, who did? Steve Mosher. Discussion. Stan James.
So is it something that is required that we have to pay into the IMRF on this money, or can we elect not to pay into that? Because in my mind, what we're doing is not only are we giving them an allowance, that allowance then becomes part of their retirement equation, which could boost their rate of retirement up, much like the enhanced plan did for some of the people that took care of that years ago on the county board.
And we have already paid into IMRF on these taxable income earnings since 2004, and so have the employees. And because at the time that this was done, it was not understood that IMRF required this additional resolution be approved, these employees have always been told that this was part of their compensation package.
But my question is,
it impacts their IMRF, yes.
But do we have to approve? Do we have to, is it required that we give them that? I mean, can we say
no,
it's an expense and we give it to them, but we are not going to pay the IMRF on it?
Yes, you can do that.
Okay. Because my problem with that
But when you do that, we will owe these employees reimbursement for what they've paid into IMRF on these taxable allowances since 2004.
But look what it's going to do to their retirement on the county for years to come. I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out because there were some things done before, and when you read the paper, we all look in hindsight and wish it wouldn't have been done, but it was. And I just have a problem when there's people that make fairly decent money and we give them an expense account, and now we're even adding that to their retirement, and you have a lot of workers that drive every day and we wish they were even making a tenth of some of that sum that some of them are getting for vehicle allowances. So I can't support this.
Other comments? Tom, microphone, please.
We have to pay back if this were defeated.
Should have done that calculation. Yes.
No question.
Probably.
If the statement got made, I just would like an answer.
Yeah. Thank you. It would be a few thousand dollars.
Between 1 and 100,000, or
between no, I'm thinking a few between, you know, 3 and 10.
And the long-term benefit in terms, may I have a follow-up?
Please.
In terms of their pension issue, what is the projected cost for that?
Well, I would submit that for the investigator's clothing allowance, that's $750 a year, and that's going to be fairly negligible in terms of their compensation for the year. For the county engineer, his vehicle allowance is approximately $10,000 a year. So that means his final rate of earnings would be $10,000 higher than if this were not included. His pension is based on, depending on how many years he's in the system, a certain percentage of his final rate of earnings. anywhere from 25 to 75%, depending on how long he's in IMRF. So 25 to 75% of $10,000 is the impact on what he will receive. You've already been paying into IMRF based on this. Your IMRF rate is approximately 10% a year. So for you, it's 10% of $10,000 a year that you're paying to cover this.
Chris?
Is the vehicle allowance a per mile reimbursement or is it a flat
fee? No, it's
fee?
An allowance. It is a defined dollar figure. It's frozen in the current contract for the county engineer. The original vehicle allowance amount was determined based on what the county had paid for a vehicle for the county engineer. And when this county engineer was hired, he preferred to have his own vehicle rather than a county provided vehicle. So the flip side of it is, you know, that's part of the flip side of it, at least. But that's why this county engineer has a vehicle allowance and why we had not encountered it before 2004.
So as opposed to being an expense reimbursement, this is essentially a compensation bump in recognition
right.
of the fact that we're not going to provide him a vehicle. Is that the,
right. Right.
the theory behind it?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Show of hands on the first set of ayes. All those in favor. That seems to pass. I'm counting.
No, wait a minute.
14.
Did you have 14? Yeah, 14. Got it.
That motion passes 14.
The next item on the agenda is an IMRF report. For your information, in April, we received from IMRF the rates that we will pay in 2013. And quite frankly, at only a 2% increase, this is fairly good news for us. I also provided for you information about our IMRF funded status and IMRF's actual funded status, because you hear so much in the news today about state pensions. Wanted to make sure that you are aware that IMRF is not one of the five state pensions that is so poorly funded. In fact, IMRF is well funded. To have a pension plan, a defined benefit pension plan funded between 80 and 100% is reaching the target for these types of plans, and you can see that IMRF overall is there. Last year was a bad year for returns, which is why the market value basis is slightly less than the actuarial funded basis. We, for our regular IMRF, which is the majority of our IMRF obligation, on the actuarial funded basis are at almost 85%, and on the market funded basis at 80%. For SLEP, we're at 62.5% and market funded 58%. We will never be funded in ECHO because we have more retirees who have actually already received the ECHO pension than those that – so anyone who's already retired is not included in these numbers because they are 100% funded. All of our retirees' annuities are 100% funded. This is only for our active or inactive employees who are still subject to being able to retire in the future. So just thought you would benefit from having that information.
Any questions for Deb on that? Okay, onward.
Next item is the non-bargaining salary administration recommendation for fiscal year 2013. We did conduct a market study pursuant to the personnel policy this year. We had not really done that since 2008 because we have faced so much economic difficulty that there seemed little reason to do a market study in 2009, 10, and 11. Based on the evaluations that we did, and we choose benchmark positions from within each salary grade range in the county salary system, we do a comparison with our comparable counties, and then we also do a comparison with this region through a study supplied by the Central Illinois Human Resource Group. We, based on those comparisons, for the county's comparison, the three other counties are Rock Island, McLean, and Peoria, all of which are smaller than Champaign County. We study their minimums and maximums for each range, and when we take the average of those other three counties, we are basically lagging behind the average. in that for not in our top ranges, K through N, but in our ranges E through J, we're basically at 94.64% of the maximum of the minimums and 96% of the maximums. If we were at 100%, that would mean we were the same as the average of the other three counties. So we're slightly behind the average of the other three counties. In the CHARGE survey, the Central Illinois Human Resource Group survey, we compare our midpoint, which is what we consider to be the market average for the job, to the market average that is published for benchmark positions, and we compare our maximums. Our midpoints are comparable in the region at 100%. Our maximums are substantially lower than the maximums that are listed in that study, typically at only about 75%. The other consideration is that in our AFSCME contracts, which have bargaining unit positions similar to our non-bargaining hourly or non-exempt positions, we have typically used the same ranges, and in the AFSCME contracts in 2013, those ranges will be adjusted up by 2%. So the recommendation is that we leave the top ranges, which are ranges K through N, the same as they have been since 2008, not increasing those ranges, but that we increase by 2% ranges E through J. The additional recommendation is that all of the non-bargaining employees receive a 2% increase in fiscal year 2013. The salary administration plan calls for two other types of raises. One is called compa ratio movement, which is movement to the midpoint, from the minimum to the midpoint, in your first 7 years of employment. And we are not recommending any implementation of compa ratio for fiscal 2013. If we did that, it would affect 18 of the 115 non-bargaining employees. And the other allowance for salary increases in the salary administration plan is for merit adjustments, and we are not recommending any merit adjustments for 2013 for the non-bargaining employees either. Basically, 2% is very consistent with what all of our bargaining employees will be receiving in 2013, and we are requesting the same consideration for the non-bargaining employees.
Entertain a motion to approve as recommended. By Geraldo, seconded by Al Kurtz. Discussion. Jeff.
Clarification on range E through J, where it's asking for a 2% increase. I assume that you're meaning that it's a 2% from what we have today versus trying to go from our three-county average of 94.64% to 96.64%?
No. It's 2% to the current ranges.
Ron? Oh, I'm sorry. Carol?
So is this request for 2012 to be spent in 2012? This is for 2013.
This is in preparation for preparing the 2013 budget. We've already negotiated all of the labor contracts with one exception. So we know what all the bargaining salaries will be in 2013, and this is to establish what the non-bargaining salaries will be in 2013.
Chris?
Do you have a sense in terms of what the impact of excluding the ranges K through N from the 2% increase is, you know, what percentage of the payroll is tied up in K through N as opposed to E through J?
I am not recommending not giving those employees a 2% increase. I'm only recommending that those salary ranges don't adjust up by 2%. The recommendation is that all non-bargaining employees receive a 2% cost of living adjustment in fiscal 2013. But the salary range listing for those positions that are in the schedules K, L, M, N, the salary ranges won't change.
Thank you. Okay, that explains why I was confused.
Sorry.
Hold on for round one for anybody else. Carol first. Any other questions on this for round one? Gary.
Deb, could you help me? So across the board, we're going to get 2% for the non-bargaining.
Right. Correct.
So added to that would be the 2% down in ranges E through I?
No, not added to that. I'm sorry. I thought the range listing was included in your agenda. It would probably help you if it were. I must have missed that. Each range has a minimum and a maximum.
Okay.
So when I'm asking you to increase the ranges E through J, which means if I am 2% ahead of the minimum this year, you give me a 2% increase and you adjust the range by 2%, I'll still be 2% ahead of the minimum next year. Adjusting the ranges and actually increasing the employees' salaries, two steps. So in step one, adjusting the ranges, we are not recommending adjustment to the top end ranges. Mm-hmm. So the people who work in those ranges, when they get a 2% increase, they're going to get closer to the maximum because you are not also adjusting up the range.
Okay,
they're going to move further away from the minimum because the minimum is staying the same and they're getting a 2% increase.
All right, so, again, we're not. Some of these people are not going to get a 4% raise.
Nobody's getting 4%.
Okay.
The ranges are what we use to establish when people are hired, what they should be paid, but the increases are only to current employees' wages. Wherever the non-bargaining employees' wages in 2012, the recommendation is that they receive a 2% increase in 2013, separate from any consideration of the ranges. They're all compensated within the ranges now and will continue to be next year.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
John?
Deb, what kind of dollar impact are we looking at with this?
About $360,000 for all county employees is what the 2% increases mean. For these 115, it's some component of that.
Okay.
Ralph, did you speak all general,
I'm sorry, all general corporate fund employees. I'm sorry.
Patsy.
Just to add to that information, Ms. Busey just shared, she very kindly helped me wrap my head around what has happened in the way of salary increases since 2007 up to the present time and her recommendations. So not only is there the about $361,000 in cost increase for 413 employees, but then there is almost $50,000 in IMRF expenses that we need to be thinking about.
Anybody else for round one before going back to Carol? Carol.
I wanted to ask how this is going to impact the projected budget in 2013, since we know that we are in a really precarious fiscal climate in Illinois, and two, what the merit adjustments that are also listed in here, what percentage of would that be an increase to those who would receive merit adjustments as well?
The recommendation is for zero for merit.
For zero for merit across.
The only recommended increase is a 2% cost of living adjustment to each non-bargaining employee's salary or wage.
Okay. And do we know what the projected income for 2013 will be to absorb that in the RMRF?
I know what the projected increase in property tax revenue for the general corporate fund will be, and it is approximately $280,000. And I know that the projected increase for the quarter cent sales tax that goes into the general corporate fund is probably more than $200,000 over what was budgeted this year. Obviously, we don't have all the budget numbers yet because we haven't started in the budget process. That is the only area. Personnel costs are the only areas, when you get to the budget process resolution in a few minutes, where there are increases basically that you're authorizing moving forward. And again, I would point out to you that this 2% is for 115 employees. The other 300 some are already receiving approximate 2% or slightly more based on the bargaining contracts that have been negotiated.
Other questions?
No.
Carol.
If I can follow up, the projected property increase that you described would not cover it, and you're saying that you would utilize the increase from the quarter cent to pay the difference off?
I'm just telling you about projected revenue increases for the general corporate fund for next year. We know the property tax revenue increase will be 3% because that's PTEL. It could be slightly more than that, but we're guaranteed that it is at least 3%, and so that's the first number that I gave you. Secondly, not the public safety quarter cent. It's in a separate fund.
Okay.
The general quarter cent that supports the general corporate fund is performing at a rate where we would expect at least $200,000 in growth in fiscal year 2013 over what was budgeted for fiscal year 2012.
Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
That motion carries. Item number 7.
Finally, the probably should have put this first. This is the budget process resolution for fiscal year 2013. It is substantially similar to what we did last year. I will point out one change in the calendar for how we're doing it. If you'll recall, last year we set up independent department budget reviews with two county board members at a time, and those each of you signed up for one or two budget reviews with a county department to review their budget in its entirety. The recommendation this year is slightly different, and if you look on page 140 of the agenda, you look at August 21st, what we would recommend is that the non-general corporate fund budget documents be provided to all county board members electronically on August 21st, and that for any county board member who would like to sit down and review, and this is non-general corporate fund, so this will be RPC, mental health board, nursing home, highway, county board of health, those budget requests you will receive electronically, and if you want to, if you have questions for those officials or department heads, you would have the opportunity to contact them and sit down with them or talk with them over the phone regarding any questions you have about their budget presentations. Then we would take the general corporate fund and related special revenue fund budgets, those special revenue funds that are controlled by general corporate fund elected officials, and have a full county board study session on August 29th to present to you in detail all of the general corporate fund budget requests and information for your review and analysis at that time. And then we would be back at the September finance meeting where the finance committee would then provide additional direction with regard to decisions that need to be made to work towards completing the entire 2013 budget recommendation.
And if I can add to what Deb just added, I try not to do this before discussion, but she and I talked about this particular item a lot. I've been in this position for a few years now and seen how we've tried to do this a couple different ways, with our budget hearings over a couple of nights, with bringing everyone in, with how we worked it last year, which was a good experiment. It was a good thing to try. But I think the main things to note here are that our focus as far as our area of responsibility as board members is general corp. To have that study session over those general corporate funds is important. It seemed that the other funds that Deb mentioned that would come in and speak to us either just came and left or had very, very specialized questions that perhaps one or two board members were interested in. You still have the opportunity to vet that entire process if you so choose, but we would focus on what really our areas of focus should be as board members. It does require us to be responsible to read the budgets as they come out from all the different departments. We can then come with informed questions. That study session just about general corporate, I think, drills down to what we really need to be dealing with and does so as efficiently as possible. So Deb and I kind of duked it out over this one. A lot of these were my suggestions to try to get this process as efficient as possible, put the responsibility where it needed to be, and that's why it is the way that it is. And so what do you think? Comments? Chris? Microphone, please.
I would move that we accept this resolution and forward it to the full board for approval.
Second.
That motion by Chris, seconded by Quiz. Discussion to the motion. Patsy, then Tom.
Well, I sort of like a bit of pulling together what happened last year and inserting this into this proposal. I understand that we focus mainly on the general fund. However, the thing that I found missing from those individualized sessions was that was fine and dandy for the two people who oversaw X and Y or Z, depending on how many we got assigned to. But we missed a huge opportunity of folding that into, we have a study session scheduled here, so why can't we fold that into being part of the study session, and that there is a 5 or 10 minute report on the takeaway from that that would benefit the whole board and merge two aspects of grade efficiency toward us really having a total picture of the county monies and all the different levels of budgets, because then as we move forward and we have the amendments that come in, we have unexpected expenditures come in, et cetera, this just helps with the gestalt of the budget process better than just individualizing it.
Tom.
I don't know if that's called a gestalt. But
play off gestalt,
if,
please.
Every form of therapy has its merit, I suppose. I actually agree with Patsy on this particular issue. I actually think there is value to having the folks come before the full board and make presentations. The questions may be specialized, but quite frankly, for many members of the board, this is the only time they're going to see some of these people is at these budget hearings. It is an educational process in which they educate us about what they're doing, about what their budgets are, what the problems with their budgets are. I think it is a way to educate the board about matters beyond our simple general corporate fund. And I think it has great value to all the board members. It also, you know, when problems come up 6 months later, you at least have an awareness of what the problem was at its inception in terms of the financial aspects of it. I actually, in many respects, would like to go back to a traditional three-night budget hearing so that we got more information and got all the county board members invested, not just two and not just at one board study session that just dealt with the general corp fund.
When we did the three-night, just as an FYI, about half the board members typically showed up. Astrid, then Stan.
Me too. I agree.
Stan?
Well, I was just going to say what Tom just said. I found it interesting when I first got on the board that when I came to some of them meetings, and no, I didn't make all of them, but it was nice because some of the things that I had questions about, sometimes when they're up there talking, you can ask the right questions. You get a better response than reading something. A lot of times I speed read. Because some of that stuff gets like being on a jury. You just get to the point you've had enough of it. So I, no offense, Tom. But I do look at it, and I think it's well worth. Plus, we see those folks, and they like on the County Board of Health, they always go over that stuff knowing that there might be some questions. And I like that oversight. Sometimes when we take that attitude that we're going to read it or review it, and we don't have a chance to grill people, so to speak, I think that we're missing something.
Carol, then Ralph.
I would agree with Mr. Betts on. I guess the question is, were the previous hearings, video and public, were they shown on television for the public to view the hearings? I think there is, regardless of what people think about the public, I think there is a value in the public knowing where their money's going, and the people who are asking for the money to run these departments really need to put that presentation to the board as well as to the public for their viewing however they decide to view it. And I see the value in that, and I did participate last budget cycle in the smaller sessions, and I thought they were good, but again, they were so small, people would not even understand what was going on. So over a three-day session, or four-day sessions, however you want. I think it's beneficial on both sides, the public as well as the board.
Ralph, then John.
The big advantage in a three-day session, as I see it, is that you have a person-to-person, eyeball-to-eyeball contact, and you have a chance to think about it, and you have a chance to discuss it. Working with a with your email or your electronic transmission is pretty deadly. Now, you're right. Their attendance at those three-day meetings was far from unanimous. But I think that reflects the fact that the county's business is very diverse, and all of us have our talents and our lack of talent. So we go to the meetings and participate in the meetings where we're bound up in it, where we know something about it, and we tend to depend upon our colleagues for those things where we're not fully aware. So really, I think that having a three-day meeting would be spending the county's money very well.
John. Thanks, Brandon. I think I've been through both both experiences now. I think we can condense probably the corporate into one night and the non-corporate into another night. There's merit, what everybody's been saying. I'll get spit out. What everybody's been saying, there's merit to that, and I agree. But I think we can condense it because three nights, I think we start losing population out of this board. I think we can do it in two nights. I think there's something to be said to having department heads show up here. And I think we have some oversight that is part of this also.
Specific to that, John, I'd like to ask Deb to give an impression of if that's possible, because I remember the three were kind of felt crammed as well.
If you only do two, I would concur. I believe you need one full evening for general corporate fund, and we always couple general corporate fund with something else, and I think you should spend a full evening on that fund alone. Getting all the other presentations into one evening is fine if you want to be here 4 or 5 hours, but it's pretty difficult to be presenter number 7 after the board has sat through 4 or 5 other presentations. So I would strongly recommend that we use three nights, which would be August 28th, 29th, and 30th. And if that were going to be an amendment to this resolution, I would simply ask that you strike August 21st and that changing where it says August 29th to August 28th through 30th, County Board Legislative Budget Hearings, which is what we used to do.
I would make a motion to strike August 21st, 2012, and have budget hearings on the 28th and the 30th to deal with the non-general
corporate. Tom, 28th through the 30th?
I second that.
And Ralph seconds that. Is that clear? So basically, the idea here is to, rather than as it's proposed in your packet, go to three nights presentations with one focus on general corp and two others on everything else, just like we used to do.
May I speak to my motion?
All right, Tom to speak to the motion, then Jeff.
I agree with Deb that it takes more than one night. I don't think you could cram general corp and everything else. And I do think two nights is not a bad thing. We are here as board members to provide oversight, to ask questions, to get answers, and to educate the public and the department heads. And I actually think the process that we do in terms of budgeting every year is really the single most important thing that we do collectively as a board. That is what's going to decide policies, believe it or not, because you can have all the policies you want, but if you don't have it budgeted, you're never carrying them out. I think this is an area where we need to concentrate, where we need to pay attention. Some board members are probably not going to show up. That's life. But many people will show up, and certainly that camera is on, and the public can read about it. It's very, very valuable as a process. I know there are department heads that dread the process, and I understand why, but I think it's just too valuable. Last year was interesting, but I think previous years it was much higher quality in terms of the public.
Okay, comments specific to this motion. Jeff, then Quiz, then John.
I would like a friendly amendment to keep August 21st as a reference point for when the board will get summaries electronically, just to make sure that we have plenty of time to prepare.
Friendly with the motioner?
I'm sorry, could I have a point of clarification? Was the motion to
strike
August
the 21st?
But the 21st was not the study session. The 21st was the deadline for electronic submission.
Yes, and I was asking for that to be stricken because First of all, generally speaking, when the departments have presented directly to you, they have presented you with hard copies of the documents on the night of the presentation. You're moving up the deadline for the entire general corporate fund and compiling a lot of information by a whole week, and that could be difficult. Quite frankly, we squeeze a lot of budget preparation into the month of August. But I understand what you're saying. I'm just not sure.
It puts a strain. Jeff?
My thought was if the original date of August 21st was okay before the first amendment to this motion, is it now an issue?
It was not going to include general corporate fund. It was only going to include those summary budgets for the mental health board and for, you know, the RPC. And those entities generally have their budgets put together. Putting together the general corporate fund budget, because it compiles information from 23 different departments and also takes into consideration numerous special revenue funds that impact those departments, is sometimes still being worked on in that last week of August.
I apologize for monopolizing, just to clarify this point. When would be a good time to receive it? Is it the day of?
It has historically, when we did these budget hearings, presented to you on the night of the hearing with an explanation by the board.
And trees are dying left and right that night, so you get a lot of paper.
So,
is there a way at least to get an electronic copy of it, at least maybe a day before or so, just so, one, avoid trees, and two, a little bit of time to look at it?
I assume that if you – okay.
And if the answer is no, it's going to absolutely crunch you, then that's the answer, but I'm just curious.
I would assume that we could have everything – how about if we had everything electronically available by August 25th, which is the Friday before that week when you would be doing the hearings?
We
would shoot for earlier.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
That's amenable. So then I guess my friendly adjustment or to the motion is add an August 25th date to have it electronically available to us.
So just focus is on getting an electronic copy for prep, right?
Yes, and it's even a little bit early as opposed
Tom
to the night of.
Both. So Tom and Ralph, that's fine with them. So there's the friendliness. Chris, anything to add to that?
Sorry, I still need a point of clarification on this. The August 21st date was for non-general corporate fund budget summaries, right?
Right.
Not corporate fund, general corporate fund budget summaries.
Right.
So why would we strike that as the date to have summaries for non-general corporate budgets emailed out to county board members? How would that change by having budget hearings later?
It wouldn't. It's the fact that I was not going to include general corporate, and that was the date. And I just think it will be difficult if you're expecting all of the budget documents to be provided to you August 21st.
My reading of the original resolution is only non-corporate was August 21st.
That's right, so because you were going to have
that.
A hearing, and you would have been provided all of the corporate documents at the hearing on the 29th. You were not going to have a hearing for those others.
You're saying we can't get the non-general corporate fund budget summaries on the 21st?
I'm saying you can't get all of the budget summaries by August 21st.
Okay, well, then we don't need to strike the 21st then. You just need to not add corporate to it, because as written, it just says non-general corporate fund on the 21st.
But you want corporate as well, right?
Okay, I wasn't speaking that. Sorry, I was just point of clarification. I wanted to understand why we were striking that, because it didn't seem relevant to the non-general corporate fund.
So is it clear to you?
I'd like the motion to clarify. What's the amendment on the floor?
The amendment on the floor is to strike the 21st, have the hearings on the 28th, 29th, and 30th, and have the materials electronically by the 25th. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
That. Is that clear? I don't think this is a big deal. I mean, this is not, we'll get the materials in time. We'll have a little bit of a chance to review. Is this a problem?
No.
Okay. I'm going to move on to Quiz and then John. And then Patsy.
Okay. If I understand it correctly, I'm supportive of the amendment as it has been clarified, because I want to receive all materials at least 2 days before we sit down to talk about it. If we get it by the 25th for general corporate, if we get everything else on that date, I'm fine with it. But I am a little bit concerned about the idea that we could come to a hearing without having seen any of the documents and have a useful discussion. Anybody who has looked at the psychology of how people process information realizes that people process information differently, and that kind of model favors the external processors, the people who can react quickly to information. And I would suggest that this board doesn't necessarily have a majority of folks in that area.
Yes.
So
what exactly are you trying to say?
I'm saying we need some time to absorb it before we talk about it. Even
you, if you would leave it at August 25th, we'll make every effort to make sure that you get this information as soon as we can have it available by the departments as it's being prepared and compiled, and the latest you will receive it is August 25th.
I'm good with that.
Good. John, then Patrick.
Just to start out with, I point of clarification, I thought the maker of the motion and the seconder considered what Mr. Keebler said as a friendly amendment. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, because the way it's been described the last two speakers, it didn't come off that way. I'm not saying it, you didn't think, but that's the way it came off. Just for clarification, that's why. All right, and my question would be the order of which we take the budgets. I think in the past, when we had three nights, corporate was always the third night. Is there, and I guess, Deb, that's up to you. Are we
going
to
do
that again,
do
non-corporate first,
sure,
two nights, and then the corporate the last night, I guess? That's the way we always did it in the past.
It's how you want it. I mean, if you want corporate to be the first night or the second night, all you have to do is say that.
I make a friendly amendment to say that we do that, the first two nights are non-corporate, then
what do you want to do? I mean, people have faded. In my experience, people faded.
Fainted or faded?
Faded.
I don't care. We can do corporate first.
I have a suggestion to that.
All right, Quiz with a suggestion, but we've got other speakers. Go quick.
We do the general corporate on the night that the study session would have been scheduled, because that's on the calendar. We've split the other groups on either side of that.
Any problem with that? Hold on. All right, hold on. Generally, I mean, is that... all right, you have a problem with that. All right. I'm going to let Patsy go and then Steve Mosier.
I have one information question. On the 18th of October is scheduled a public hearing. Is the intent to keep it this time? We did not have the public hearing in the previous budget process.
That's a truth in taxation public hearing, and it's only required if our property taxes are going to increase by more than 5%. We always put it in the calendar, because in the event that they do, we have it in the calendar, but it's most unlikely that we will need it.
Okay. Can I have a follow-up on that information then? These three nights of budget that we're about to vote on, those are also going to have a chance for public input or not? Is that part of the usual format?
No.
No.
Because the budgets at that point have not been made public, and the purpose of these three nights is for the department heads and officials to present their budgets to the county board. Now, you can change that, but historically that's how it's been.
Okay, so when it goes up electronically, that will not be where the public can look at it.
We typically don't make it available to the public until after these hearings. So when they're submitted to you electronically, they're not going to be posted on the website at the same time, unless you tell us to.
Okay, and then my last one is sort of stealing what Ms. Ammons just sort of whispered, and that is by splitting up those special budgets on either side of the corporate. Don't all the special budgets feed into the final budget? So isn't there a logic to do those first or not?
No, the special budgets that you will be seeing are the RPC Commission, the nursing home, the highway department, the County Board of Health, the Mental Health Board and Developmental Disabilities Board, Animal Control. None of those funds have an impact to speak of on the general corporate fund. What you will see the night of the general corporate fund presentation are not just the general corporate fund budgets themselves, but the special revenue fund budgets that tie into the general corporate fund. So on that night, we'll also talk about the court's automation fund as it corresponds to the court's budgets, to the capital asset replacement fund as it corresponds to all the general corporate fund department budgets.
Thank you for that clarification. I'm sure the public, that will help the public too.
Steve.
The work in progress till November.
That's right.
Nothing set in stone until you pass it. You've got till the end of November to do it. Typically, that's when it's been done. It's subject to change at any time in those 3 months.
Anybody else want to weigh in? Steve O'Connor.
Deb, on the significance of November 29th, that's D-Day, right?
That's the county board meeting in November.
And that's when all us lame ducks get to vote the town dry and then move, right?
Vote it wet.
There's some perspective for you. With that, I think it's clear that it's time to vote on Tom's motion. Is it clear what it is?
Yeah.
Remember, I detailed that before as far as striking the 21st, how the thing is going to work. Does anybody need that re-clarified?
It's Tom's amendment.
Right? Tom's amendment first. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Now back to the original, which is the resolution establishing the budget process for 2013. Any other discussion, please don't raise your hand. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Anything else, Deb?
No.
Thank goodness. Is the auditor here? Is there a motion to accept the monthly report and place it on file? By Tom. Is there a second?
Second.
By Carol. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Dan.
Endlessly interesting. My monthly report's posted online. We did want to talk a little bit about real estate taxes. We mailed out tax bills May the 1st. I reported to you last month that I was going to use a different process that I thought would save some money. We do have the bills that came in. So, as I said last month, it's about $41,000 is what it cost us last year to send out tax bills. That's postage, every single thing. The bills this year came in at $32,000, so we did save $9,000, which I thought was a pretty good deal. I do think that some taxpayers did enjoy getting all their tax bills together. So collections started May 1st, and we're up to just under 8%, collected 7.94. 1% is represented by $2.85 million. So we're about $23 million collected out of $285 million. And finally, I just want to let you know that all taxing districts will start receiving money, including the county, at the latter part of May, around May 25th or so. We'll start making our first distribution, first of six distributions of that $285 million. So what we'll be doing is if you've collected 100% of your – if everybody in your area paid all their taxes, you would get 100% the first time. Of course, that doesn't work. I think last year's our first distribution was around 17% of the total collections. So I'd ask that you accept and place on file my report, and I'd sure be glad to answer any questions.
Motion by Quiz to do so, second by Geraldo. Questions for Dan. Chris?
Just one. Can you remind us what the time frame is? I thought that the property taxes weren't due until the first of June.
That's right.
So what are we collecting now?
Real estate taxes that went out May 1st, they are due when you receive them, delinquent on June 1 and September 4th. So we'll collect quite a bit.
Also, people are actually going to mail these papers.
We had people that couldn't, that didn't even want to wait till the bills actually were mailed. I didn't see you there, but
last minute here.
Nor me.
Carol, did you have a question?
No, that's okay.
Anybody else with a question for Dan? Thank you so much for sticking around.
Thanks a lot.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Any other business for finance? There's no chair's report. Items for consent, A, everything, 1 through 11, B, 1 and 2, C, 1, that's it. That last one that passed consent, not going on, passed unanimously, not going on consent. Pius, you have anything else? All right, let's adjourn it. Thank you.